Harvey, can you comment on this question of adequacy of node dissection? There was a huge debate about this at ASCO this year in colon cancer, where 50% of people in practice have, quote, inadequate nodal dissections and therefore end up getting chemo. What about this issue with non-small cell surgery?
Well, I think it remains an issue that depends upon who the surgeon is. If you have a surgeon that's trained in lymph node dissection, which is what most of us do as people at academic centers and who are training fellows, we teach them how to do lymph node dissections in the normal cases. I mean, an 82-year-old that's going to have a wedge, do we do a sampling? Maybe. But we still get different levels.
So how does an oncologist look at the report, talk to the surgeon, and figure this out?
I think that you got to go back to your surgeon, but the question is, what do you do with it once you get it? And I think that if you come to a place where you've got a surgeon who understands this issue, then I think they ought to be restaged. And I think that, number one, if you get a PET scan, for what it's worth, and there's any question of the PET scan, and they may have touched the mediastinum, maybe there's a little activity, that's a cue. It doesn't matter that if you can do a med, if it's a right side, and they haven't done a med before, why not restage the patient? In other words, if they really didn't get you a lot of level 4 lymph nodes or got you one that was no good.
But what specifically should the oncologist be looking for? Is it number of nodes? Is it the way they do the surgery?
Oh, I think you've got to look at numbers. But the numbers are not going to mean that much. Let me tell you why the numbers don't mean that much. You can have somebody who does morselization of these lymph nodes when they take out a level 4 fat pocket and they crush the lymph node, and all of a sudden every lymph node that's 1 becomes 3 or 2. And that's the way the pathologists interpret it. In other words, they get a whole bunch of things in this container and they say, oh, it's really not 3 lymph nodes, it's 9. So the number doesn't mean that much to me.
Forget the number.
It's the distribution. It's the distribution.
So where they're coming from.
Right. And so
where do you want to see it coming from?
On the right side, you should see, if possible, and if you look up there, 2, 4, and 7. You should look at 8 and 9. And potentially, if you're doing it right up below, but you got right under the esophagus, you should be getting the 10s too. So I think you've got
it. How about on the left?
On the left side, it's 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. My point is that at least on the right side, you can go ahead and do a re-med, or you can do a med, because they probably not had a med first.
If they're not going to have it, you've determined that, okay, they didn't really have an adequate dissection. Now, in colon cancer, they're going to get chemo, because they have a worse prognosis than small number of positive nodes. What's the prognosis of these people?
We don't know that. The closest thing that's going to give us that is whether there's going to be a difference between sampling and dissection, which is the AGASOG trial that's not finished yet. So inadequate node dissection versus complete node dissection, I don't think we'll ever have an answer to that as to whether that impacts negatively on the patient.
Didn't ECOG, the early adjuvant ECOG studies, have a suggestion retrospectively that sampling was inferior to complete dissection?
That's
probably more to say, not necessarily therapeutically, but at least staging-wise, whatever.
Right. I don't have an answer to the prognosis, but the other thing that you got to remember is that you also have newer techniques that you could potentially do it even less invasively to restage this mediastinum. That includes endobronchial ultrasound with real time. So you're going to be able to also get some of those level 4L nodes that you may not have gotten before. I think you need to involve the surgeon to then restage the patient. And I'm not so sure it's completely correct, although, you know, I defer to other people's opinion, to just willy-nilly put them on chemotherapy because you don't have the data.
Mark?
I was going to ask Harvey how many people are willing to accept, when they're in the recovery period from a right thoracotomy, someone telling them, well, you know, your surgeon really didn't do it, and you have to go back and have another procedure, particularly if it's a mediastinoscopy.
I'm telling you, I'm from the Jack Ruckdischel school. When at Carmanos, this was a very common situation, and the patients were usually, when they're informed about the importance of this now with adjuvant therapy, they're very amenable to that, especially since it's a one-day, go-home-the-same-day procedure, and I think they're going to be more amenable to it when it becomes simply a bronchoscopy.
Mark, what do you do in this situation?
I think in these patients who are inadequately staged, depending on age and comorbidities and stuff like this, if you have a totally inadequately sampled mediastinum, and I've seen path reports and operative notes, and you get the sense that no one who was caring for this patient remembered there was a mediastinum there.
How often does that happen?
Too often. I mean, it happens less often nowadays than it did, but we've not gone back and say you need to do another procedure to prove this. Now, we do have nowadays endoscopic ultrasound, endobronchial ultrasound. Those things are going to make it easier to think about that. However, in the right patient, I'm willing to say, I'm going to assume that it's negative, all things other being equal. I think that for the right patient, getting through three or four cycles of adjuvant therapy is not a big deal. There's little, if any, mortality associated with that.
How small will the tumor have to be for you to be able to do it? Would you do it at 2 centimeters?
No, well, then no. I mean, I think then it brings up the issues of, you know, this is a situation where, thank God, I practice where surgeons do sample the lymph nodes. But I think it gets a little dicier there. I think in that situation, I'm not willing to pull the adjuvant chemo trigger in a 2-centimeter lesion without knowing that the nodes are positive. And then the issue here is I would pull the trigger if I knew N1 nodes were positive, but you're stuck in this situation because although you can sample the N2 nodes, how easy is it to get to the N1 nodes?
Oh, with endobronchial ultrasound.
With endobronchial ultrasound.
That's an evolving technology,
right?
That's going to be another 3 to 5 years before it's at a lot of places.
Right.
But you're right. Right now, it's very difficult.
Right.
Are there any SEER data on adequacy of surgery? Because that's where the colon stuff all comes from. Nothing?
Not that
hasn't
I know.
Hasn't been tapped. Yeah.
Wally?
Yeah, two quick points. Vincent mentioned the issue of the ACASOG mediastinal staging trial, phase 3 trial. Over 1,100 patients, ACASOG 0030, finished accrual in 2004. Next data monitoring committee review of that is this year. Maybe we'll have data next year. We'll see. But we have 1,100 patients from 60 groups. Second issue is if you have a high-risk primary tumor, T2, T3-ish, inadequate mediastinal dissection or no mediastinal dissection, I think the issue is not just pulling the trigger on chemotherapy, but does that mediastinum need to be radiated in the absence of a redo surgery? And to me, I would base my decision or my recommendation based on the global patient picture and the nature of the primary lesion and its likelihood of risk as well as imaging.
Can you usually figure this out from an op report? Without talking to the surgeon, just looking at the path report, the operative report, can you figure this out?
You know whether they went in the mediastinum, perhaps.
But in terms of, you know, 4, 5, 7, and 8, all this stuff?
No, not always.
Neil,
not always.
I'm going to editorialize here. There is a level of malpractice, and I have to use the word malpractice, that is accepted in thoracic cancer that would be totally unacceptable in breast cancer and colorectal cancer. Lymph nodes in my community, when it's coming from a outside hospital that generally has fewer than 2 or 3 medical oncologists, the mediastinum isn't even looked at.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's scary. And it hasn't been looked. This hasn't been studied to document.
How many breast cancer
patients
have
ignored? They've done a CAT scan and a PET,
yes.
And it's negative. Therefore, they assume the mediastinum as negative.
Totally,
they do a lobectomy. There might be a parabronchial node or two. Maybe they've grabbed the hilar node, and that is all.
Tony, one of the most interesting things I saw at ASCO was a paper that looked at adequacy of node dissection in colon cancer, SEER versus NCCN hospitals. In SEER, 50% of people had inadequate lymph nodes numbers. In the NCCN, it was 10%.
I'll throw out something that's even more scary that echoes what Corey says. I mean, as you well know, the ongoing thing with thoracic surgeons is VATS, lobectomies now. I mean, it's going to even aggravate the situation with surgeons who are thoracic surgeons but now are learning how to do VATS lobectomy and have to do it.
But I thought McKenna gets just as good nodal sampling.
That's McKenna.
That's one person.
What I'm saying is that there's a shift now,
Tom, huge drop
for more people wanting to do VATS lobectomies. And I think they're going to have to relearn how to get into the mediastinum, especially the 7s and sometimes the 4s.
Tony?
I think you have to look at history a little bit here and comparing to breast and colorectal. Keep in mind, only recently have we seen any survival benefit, and we even argue about that in non-small cell lung cancer. The surgical staging, yes, is critical in breast cancer. That's where we've seen survival benefits in the adjuvant setting and neoadjuvant setting for the last few decades.
30 years.
Yeah, and practically a decade in colorectal cancer. So this is evolving, and it clearly will be better defined. I remember, and again, one thoracic surgeon who I respect highly, Mac Holmes from UCLA. And I'll never forget his influence on the old lung cancer study group. You take nodes out, you put the nodes from different stations in different bottles for the pathologist, labeled where it came from in a different bottle from all the stations that Harvey mentioned. Eventually, this is going to be critical. And what Corey was talking about, I agree with him, but I'm a little more lenient because these surgeons who've been doing this procedure for so many years, there was no survival advantage in staging lung cancer. We didn't have any other treatment. So now it's changed. So now we have to have this information, and we need people like Harvey and thoracic oncology community, surgeon community, to establish the criteria, as Vince mentioned. We need the criteria.
I'm curious, Harvey, how much awareness is there right now in the people doing surgery for lung cancer about the benefits of adjuvant chemo and the importance of staging?
I think that there are two cohorts. I think that you're talking about the general surgeons who are doing thoracic surgery. And frankly, I think that's going to be less and less.
Is that much right now?
I think that that's probably around 25 to 30% in the community. I
mean, 25 to 30% of people with lung cancer are getting operated on by...
I heard it's as high as 50%.
I think it's higher. I heard that too, but I don't believe that.
I think it depends on where you are.
Yes.
It does.
Yes.
I think 25%
is high.
It's high. So that's one group, but I think...
You're saying general surgeons.
Yes, sir. I think that's gradually going to diminish. The problem also, unless they can show that these stent grafts are no good in coronaries, some more, are you have the cardiac surgeons who are now literally doing more thoracic surgery. And through their training, even the younger ones, they've dismissed the whole idea of, we don't have to learn about this that much because we're cardiac surgeons. Now, they're having to support their practices, and they have to be re-educated. So I think that we need to have something. This is a very difficult area because when we discuss the 3A stuff also, it becomes a conundrum how to get patients on trials, and we want to do it right, but at the same time, we have to deal with this problem of inadequately staging the mediastinum.
Nasser?
So just two quick points to underscore all the other discussion. The majority of lung cancer surgery, even in the U.S., is not performed by thoracic surgeons. Many are performed by general surgeons. And secondly, without an adequate surgery, we really don't truly know what the stage of our patients is. The Nicholson study, if you look at the surgery alone arm of that trial, 60% of the patients were incorrectly staged clinically. 60%. Because at the time of surgery, they were either upstaged or downstaged compared to what they had appeared to be prior to surgery. 60%. So we really don't know what the true extent of disease is unless we do these adequate surgeries.